Greetings. It's great to be with you today, especially during this Christmas season and just a wonderful time of celebration. And I want to especially thank and express gratitude to Pastor Chris for this invitation and just looking forward to our time together today and trust that we're going to have some very interesting and hopefully inspiring truth and news that we hear about some very special people and characters in the story of Christmas. Of course, the true story of Christmas recorded in the New Testament. But these particular people and men have a powerful message for us today that I hope will encourage all of us in a very, very powerful way. I'd like to start off with something maybe a little different, and that's talk about the amazing homing instinct of animals. Now, animals are fascinating, the instincts that God put in them. And one of them is the homing instinct of animals, even personal family pets. There are amazing stories of pets that have been taken away on holiday or something with their family and somehow get left by mistake, lost, and the family cannot find them. So they eventually give up, go home. A story of a cat in Australia that was taken with its family on holiday. They lost the cat. They were out in the outback desert of Australia. They finally gave up. They went home. 2 years later, that cat showed up at their doorstep. It had found its way home over 1,000 miles of desert, finding its way to the doorstep of the home of the family it belonged to. So just amazing the instinct God puts in these animals that he created. And of course, not just pets, but in the wild. The homing instinct and migration instinct of animals. You know, salmon fish will migrate every year from the ocean up the rivers. They will go hundreds of miles to a place they've never been before, actually, as adults. And they find the exact spot. They swim from the ocean, find the right river, find the right stream, swim upstream, right to the exact place that they will spawn and lay eggs for the next generation of their family. You can't, you know, the only logical explanation is God put that amazing computer programming in them. The same with butterflies. Monarch butterflies will migrate little butterflies from Canada and North America all the way down to Mexico. More than 3,000 miles, these little butterflies to the exact same place. They know how to find their way home. The champion, of course, probably is the small bird called the Arctic tern that will migrate from up by the North Pole all the way down near to the South Pole in Antarctica every year. And that is over, I think, 23, 24,000 miles. And it finds its way to the exact spot. But what's amazing even more is that they've put trackers on these little birds. They're only about 4 ounces or about 110 grams. And it will fly zigzag all the way down across the world. And so it actually flies, they say, about 44,000 miles every year in that migration. And they live about 30 years, so they will fly 1.5 million miles or more in their lifetime, all by this amazing homing instinct to know exactly how to find their way home. And so it's just incredible what God put into his creation. But you might ask, well, what about human creatures? Did God give us a homing instinct? And yes, he did. It's an amazing homing instinct, a spiritual homing instinct that he gave us. And that kind of leads us to who I want to talk about today in the Christmas story. And I'd like to read to you from Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It says this: Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men, or magi, from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote: 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with these wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. You see, from the beginning, Matthew was showing that Jesus wasn't just born to be the king of the Jews, but to be king of the world. Because right here in the beginning of the story, we see that these magi, these men from the east who were Gentiles, had come to worship not just the king of the Jews, but the king of the world. And he was showing, Matthew was, and Jesus was showing that that's who he came for, not just the Jewish people, which was very important, but he came to save the whole world and to rule our lives and hearts with his love and his truth. Throughout the Roman Empire at that time, there was actually a belief that there was coming a ruler of the world, a king out of Judea that would rule all the world. There was a belief and rumors going around both in the Roman world, in the Jewish and Semitic world, and in the Gentile world in the East. In fact, the Jewish historian Josephus wrote in the Jewish Wars that at that time, there, at the birth of Christ, there would be many who held that belief. And then Suetonius, who was a Roman historian, he wrote, there had spread all over the Orient and Asia an established belief that it was fated at that time for men coming from Judea to rule the world. And the Roman historian Tacitus also said the same thing. So there was this understanding that a king was coming for the whole world, but they didn't understand exactly who or how. But these magi, these wise men, who were scholars, spiritual scholars, probably similar to astrologers today that looked at the stars and they studied them. They were advisors to kings. They were priestly advisors. So they were spiritual scholars, always looking to find the presence and plan of God for their king. And so they were seeking the truth constantly from the Creator. And God appears to them. And we see that. That he always will want to answer and find those who truly seek him. And so we know that God has given many signs to human beings to point us to the way. God has put in our hearts eternity. And there are different ways that we have a homing instinct that God is using it to lead us home to him, to our Creator. All signs point to it. All signs point to him. And these magi are a perfect example of this, even though they were far from Jerusalem, far from Bethlehem, far from the Jewish religion, but they were seeking God. And so they're so inspiring to us because God will find a way to lead anyone who wants to come home to him and find him. Now, what is the homing instinct that we have? I would say there's three main ones, and we'll just cover this very briefly. We could talk a long time about it, but the first kind of homing instinct that God gives us or sign that lights the road home for us is our conscience. God put in every human being a conscience. In fact, C.S. Lewis, the great apologist who had been an atheist and then came to see the evidence in creation and inside man, said this is one of the greatest evidences to him is that all human beings know that there is a right and wrong in life. That's why you see religion all over the world. All human beings know they have not lived life the way they know they should. They've done things wrong, wrong words, wrong actions, wrong beliefs, wrong behavior, wrong habits, wrong relationships, wrong thoughts. And so everyone knows that they really have not lived rightly, and they're looking for peace with their Creator. They want to know that they're right with their Maker, and they want that forgiveness. And so they come up with all kinds of ways, their own rules, their own rituals to try to get right with their Maker. And you see that all over. And so the conscience that God puts in us is trying to point us to come home to the moral lawgiver that shows us the way he created us to live. And then when we do find him, he will give us that peace. He will give us that forgiveness, and we can share his life with them. So God, that's part of the homing instinct, is our conscience. But beyond our conscience then, is also creation, and it's around us everywhere. If you're really honest, and you look at the world and creation, both at the macro level of the universe, the size and complexity of the universe, it's so obvious that there was an intelligent, all-powerful creator behind it. There's no way this happened by just random chance and blind luck. It doesn't make any sense. It's illogical that it all could have come together like that. You know, just the size of our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, which is just a tiny part of the universe. It takes 100,000 light years to get across it. That's traveling the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles a second, going that fast for 100,000 years to get across our little galaxy. And they say now that there is anywhere, they used to say about 125 billion galaxies. Now they think it may be up to 1 or even 2 trillion galaxies. That's a big universe. You think that just somehow happened? And that it's all in the order, and then you see Earth that is able to support life, that has the perfect balance, the fine-tuning of that, and all of the elements and the materials and the laws of physics that make it possible for us to be alive. It's just incredible. God has written his signature all over the sky, all over creation, saying, I'm your creator. Come home to me. You can find me. I'm lighting the way with these signs. I've given you this internal spiritual homing instinct, your own GPS. God's positioning system is built into us to show us the way home. And these magi were following that. They were sincere, serious seekers of the divine. And so then we not only see the size of the universe, we even see at the micro level, microbiology, it's incredible. DNA, it's called the language of God that designs us, the information code that makes us who we are. You know, if they stretch that DNA, they say all the way out, there is so much information in our cells and our body through that DNA, that if you stretch it out in a string, it would reach from Earth to the sun and back 600 times. How do you explain that? God is telling us, shouting it, flashing signs. This is your creator. I'm showing you the way home to me. Come back to me so that we may share life together as I created you for. So we have this homing instinct spiritually. And these magi were following it. They followed every bit of light that they had, and God would give them more light. And so we not only have our conscience, we have creation, but then that will eventually lead us to Christ, because that is the ultimate revelation and Christ's word that leads us home to him. And so it's just amazing that God has given us so much light to show the way home, that even these magi, these Gentiles that were so far away, not just geographically, but especially spiritually, that had grown up and been taught so many different things. But you know, the thing about the Magi is it wasn't because they were scholars that made them find and help them find God and the way home. God does not need educated people. In fact, there are many educated people in the world that do not find their way home to God because they don't really want to. They don't want to be accountable to their creator. They don't want to live his way. They want to live their way. But these Magi not only were smart in their brains, but they had smart hearts. What's a smart heart? A smart heart is a wise heart that recognizes there's a creator who created me for a purpose that loves me, and I want to know him. And I don't want to be God. I'm not God. He's God, I'm not. And so even though they're smart, they recognize their place and purpose in life. And these magi were that way. They were seeking the truth step by step. That should encourage us that God, when he sees seekers, true seekers, serious seekers, he will shine the light and light our way home to the light of the world, Jesus Christ himself. And so the Magi are a beautiful, inspiring picture and example to us of the kind of hearts, the smart hearts, the wise hearts that love our creator, that want to know him in a relationship and want to come home to him. And God will find a way to give more light. We don't know for sure, but this goes back even possibly. They may have been exposed to some of God's word through Daniel. Hundreds of years before, the Magi, if you remember, Daniel interpreted a prophecy. And through his interpretation of that prophecy, he saved, actually, many of these magi, these spiritual scholars, and that went down through hundreds of years. And so they may have even known a bit about that, passed down through the magi's different generations. And so they heard a bit about a king that was coming, as well as the general rumor and all of that that was going around at the time of Christ. So God will find a way to give you more light as we seek him and lead us closer and closer to him. So now the Magi have heard that the king is finally here. And so God sends even more light. And what does he do? He sends a light to them with the star. And this wasn't just a regular star. This was a star like no other. It shone brightly. It was very clear to them. And there are a lot of theories about this, whether this was Aries and Jupiter and lining up, and it's possible. We don't know exactly what it was. Some people believe it was just the Shekinah glory of God himself, but whatever it was, it stood out bright. And they recognized this was God shining and leading the way for them, lighting the way for them to follow. And they recognized this was a royal star, a kingly star. Because their hearts wanted to know the truth, God was going to reveal the truth to them. So they determined to find the king. They determined to follow the star and find him. So God can be found whenever we want. You know, speaking of C.S. Lewis again, he finally recognized through conscience that there was a God, but then he recognized Jesus Christ is no one, is like no one else. And you look at Jesus, who claimed to be God, and he is not obviously just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a good man, because no prophet or teacher or good man says, I'm God. That's blasphemy. And so the only choice is either Jesus was a liar, Jesus was a lunatic, a crazy man, or he was really Lord. He was who he claimed to be. And so C.S. Lewis recognizes that. And here again, here is this sign flashing saying, this is the one, I am your creator, who has become a creature for you to lead you home to me. And so if we follow the light that we're given, he will give us more light and more light until we get closer and closer to him, till we finally come home to him. But remember, we may be seeking him, but he actually came seeking us first. We love him because he first loved us. We would not know all of this if God was not seeking us. If he came, became a baby, the king of the universe became a baby king so that we could know him in human flesh. That's the only thing we understand. And so he's been seeking, just as we know the story of the prodigal son and that father who is looking and looking. And then he leaves his home and he runs to his son. Jesus tells that story to let us know your father is looking and seeking after you. That's why he created you. And he will find a way. If you have a heart that wants to know him, that wants to come home, he will find a way to bring you home. And he's given us all this light and these signs. And so the Magi were on that journey. And because they were serious, sincere seekers, they were following and seeing God's light and obeying that light each step of the way. Now, they finally get to Jerusalem, and we see that they arrive, and the thing that's amazing to me is that they weren't really interested in Herod. They just wanted, they talked to him because they were determined to find this king. So they weren't really there to find Herod. They weren't really there and interested in Caesar. They were there to find this child king. That's how determined they were to find the king of the world. And so that shows the kind of heart that God will reward. You see, a smart heart is a hungry heart and a humble heart. God will always satisfy hearts that are hungry for him and hungry to come home. Hearts that are humble, that will recognize he's God, I'm not. He's the creator, I'm his creature. I want to know my place in his plan. And I want to live with him and share his life with him the way he designed for me to. And that's the kind of heart that these Magi have. And he's asking us today, what kind of heart do we have? Do we have smart hearts? Are we wise seekers of the true God, the living God? And that's the message that he gives us that's so beautiful. But you see the different responses. Herod, he's right there in Jerusalem. He's the king of the Jews, so to speak, of Palestine under the Romans there. Now, he was half Jew, but he still tried to live and behave like a Jew. But, you know, you say, well, how could we be like Herod? We learned recently from Pastor Dave Kenney what Herod was like. And he was quite a man. He was a very evil man, a brutal man. He killed his own sons. He killed his favorite wife. He'd been married like 10 times. He killed his mother-in-law. And you say, well, how can any of us be like Herod? Well, we're similar to Herod more than we think in that. The main thing with Herod was he wanted no rivals. He didn't want anyone else to be the king of his life. And anyone that threatened that, he would push them away or get rid of them. And you see, that's really the sin of human beings. We don't want God to be our king. We want to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That means we want to choose what's good and evil for us. We want to be our own God. We want to be our own Lord. We want to live our way, not God's way. He's not going to tell us how to live. So we all have a little bit of Herod in us. And so we don't want to bow and worship and serve our king, our creator. And so we have to learn to seek him and surrender that and submit to that, recognizing he's God, I'm not, and he rules with love. But we all must be willing to decide that we are ready to surrender to him. Now, even Herod, he pretended and tried to act religious. He wouldn't partake of pork. He wouldn't eat pork, which was a Jewish law and custom and all that, even though he would kill people, but he tried to act like he was religious. But deep in his heart, he still was full of himself, full of pride, full of rebellion. And so God is saying, are any of us maybe a little bit like Herod in that we don't want Jesus to be our rival? We're threatened by him being our Lord or our king because we don't want him to tell us how to live. We don't want him to tell us what to do. And so there's even a message from Herod for us today in the response to Jesus, whether we respond in surrendering and submitting to him. But then we also not just have Herod, but Herod calls for the religious leaders, the experts in the religious law. And here they were, and they knew God's word. I mean, they had been around and they'd known the traditions and they'd known God's word, but the problem was they knew the word of God, but they didn't know the God of the word. Here they were. You know, Bethlehem was just 5 to 6 miles away from Jerusalem. And here they were, but were they seeking their king? Were they worshiping their king? No, they weren't even interested. I'm sure it had to be in some way shocking to the Magi that here they came all this way. You know, the Magi came, it took them at least probably 2 months or more, several months, 400 to 700 miles. And the Magi were wealthy men, and they brought this big expedition. And in fact, it was so large that when they arrived in Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem was in a stir and trouble because this huge expedition had arrived. This was an expensive expedition. They were that determined to find this king that they had been seeking, that they knew was of divine origin, that was from God. And yet here, the Jewish leaders and priestly types, they were five miles away from their king, and they could care less. And so I'm sure that the Magi were just amazed at that. You see, you can be so religious and so close. Jesus himself said so many times to the religious leaders of the Jews, he said, your hearts are far from me. You don't belong. You're not true children of Abraham. In fact, he says, you're children of the devil. You are so full of pride and self-righteousness and self-deceit and self-deception. And so it's very sad that we can be religious but not have a relationship with him. And so there's such a message there that we never want to become that way and not have the heart that is the true. These Magi had more serious, sincere seekers of their hearts for God than these religious leaders that they had the covenant of Moses at this point for about 1,300 years. They'd had the law and covenant of Moses. They'd known about the covenant with Abraham for 2,000 years. And yet here's their Messiah, here's their king, and they're not even worshiping him. But here the Magi came all that way, Gentiles, because those are the true children of God, the true citizens of God's kingdom. And so we want to ask ourselves that. You know, We can be very religious without relationship. We can have liturgy, but no love. And he's looking for those who where their heart belongs to God. Their heart belongs to King Jesus. That's what he's looking for. You know, my wife grew up in the South Pacific in a very Christianized culture. But sadly, many, many of them, and this happens all over the world, but this was her experience. She grew up going to church every week, and she would be there every Sunday, every morning. They were so religious. Her father had devotions around their bed every morning at 6 a.m., and the children would gather around the bed, and they'd read the Bible and pray. But my wife will tell you, she was no more a Christian growing up that way. It was all just religion. It was ritual. It was their own way of saving themselves, their own rituals, because the rest of the week she just lived and did what she wanted. She partied and she drank and all of that. But then on Sunday she'd be in church, and every morning they'd read the Bible, but it didn't change her heart or her life at all. And that's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, look, I want people whose heart belongs to me. And so many of people, they want the religion, whether it's like Herod, who will just won't eat pork and follow some of the rules. You know, there are Christians that sometimes you could call them CEO Christians, Christian or Christmas and Easter only. And so they like to show up a little bit. They kind of like to date Jesus, you know, or even if they go to church regularly, they go to church once a week. Even. They go on a date with Jesus, but they never give their heart to Jesus. It never changes their life. Jesus never becomes the love of their life. He never becomes the Lord of their life. And so these Magi had come all that way because they really wanted to love and serve their Creator and King. And those are the kinds of hearts that he's looking for today, is true, sincere, hungry hearts that want him. And he will always satisfy and fill hearts that want to know him like that, that want to come home. Well, then there's the third group. We saw Herod and his response to King Jesus. We saw the religious leaders all just 5-6 miles away, but none of them were worshiping Jesus. None of them were serving him. But here these Magi came all the way. Some thought that their background maybe was Zoroastrianism, but so pagan philosophies and religious, but deep in their heart, at least some of these Magi really wanted to know the true God. And you see it because they prove it, because they keep following the light God gives them. And they came, they brought their best gifts, they could, expensive gifts that they laid before him, because their heart, when they were in the presence of that child, and we know this didn't happen when Jesus was a baby in the manger. He was up to 2 years old, somewhere in there, a baby, maybe a toddler at this time. They came to the house where they were living now, and they bowed before that little child because they recognized he was God's king on this earth. He was divine himself in his origin, because their hearts were smart. They were submitted and surrendered to the Creator. They recognized their king, even though they were Gentiles. Even though the Jewish leaders and all that didn't recognize their king. See, that's the kind of heart he wants all of us to have today. Jesus said, sadly, there are multitudes around the world that claim my name, that say they're Christian, but he said, they don't belong to me. Their hearts don't belong to me. So he's looking for serious, sincere, true seekers. That's all he wants, is a heart that wants to love him and serve him and come home to live with him forever. And that's his message to us today. If the Magi could do it, if they could find their way home, this is God's plan for all of us. And he's showing us the way home through all of these signs, all of these homing instincts that he gives us, his global or God's positioning system is showing us the way, and he will lead us to people that can show us the way, and to his word that will eventually lead us right into the presence of our King Jesus. When those Magi were there in his presence, they knew they were in the presence of God himself, of God's King. They came to make Jesus the King of their heart. And that's his message to us today. So you might think that God is at a distance to you. God is never far from you. The Bible says that no matter where we go, in the highest part of heaven or the lowest part of the grave, God is there. He wants to find you. He wants you to find him. He's seeking you. And so you never have to feel you're too far. And his arms are open to everybody. Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, educated, uneducated. It's the heart that he's after. And if these magi could come all that way, God looked past all their issues, their past, their pagan past and their superstitions and their quasi-science and all of that. But deep in their hearts, he recognized which of the magi really wanted to know their creator and find their king. He kept showing them the light and leading them to the light of the world. And today he's got that for you. You know, I'll close by telling you a brief story about a girl, true story. She is a teenager, rebelled against her parents. She ran away from home. She ended up living a very sad and sinful life. She worked on the streets as a prostitute, and she was away from home for years. It broke her parents' hearts, and her father finally died, and finally her mother went searching for her. She was an older woman now, gray hair. The mother went to every dirty, cheap hotel and in the poor part of town, and she put a picture up everywhere of herself, this older woman now, gray-haired. And on each picture, everywhere she put it, she just wrote, "I love you. Please come home." And she left it. Finally, one day, the daughter was in one of those dirty, cheap hotels. She saw her mother's picture, and it broke her heart. She started crying, and she saw her mother's message to her, the sign to point her to home. So the daughter started walking the many, many miles home. She got there. She walked through the night, got there early in the morning, got to the door, and the door was actually unlocked. It was open, and she ran inside. She was afraid someone had broken in and hurt her mother or something. She found her mother in bed, and they hugged and cried. And she said, "I thought someone had broken in," and the door was open. And the mother said, "Dear," she said, "ever since you left, the day you left years ago, that door has always been open." And that's our Father. And he's saying, "My door is open. And I've given you signs. I've pointed you the way home. And if magi from far, far away in pagan religions, but seeking to find their way home, if I will lead them home, I will lead you home. And not just my door is open, but my arms are open. And my heart is open if you will just walk inside and enjoy living in your Father's house." And today, that's his message to you from the magi. If they can find their way home, any of us can. And maybe you already know Jesus, but you know that he's calling you in closer to a more intimate relationship with him. And so today, ask yourself, will I be home for Christmas? Will I come home for Christmas? He's given you every sign and every light he can to lead the way home, to share life with him forever. Let's just pray right now. Father, I pray for everyone who's watched and listened to this message. I pray that you would speak to their hearts and let them know how deeply you love them. All we have to do is look at your son, Jesus, who then grew up and became our Savior, our King, who died on a cross, the most humiliating, shameful, suffering death a human being could suffer. Our Creator became our Savior and sacrifice. And if that will not lead us home to you, if that will not win our hearts, nothing can, Lord. But today, you're showing us how much you love us. And I pray that you would lead each heart now. Lead them home, wherever they are. You know what light you've given them? Give them more light if they need it, Lord, to come closer and closer to you. Thank you that you have created us to share life with you forever. And may this be the best Christmas ever as we all come home to you. For Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.